Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sanchez gets hit, the ball is loose, and it's alive. And then going into the end zone is Steve Gregory.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And it was the backside of Brandon Moore that knocked the ball out.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Tiki and Tierney, welcome back on The Fan. It's 12:42 on this Monday. So Tiki's been geeking out about this for a while. Everybody's pumped up. The show is, he's done doing a lot of things. But beyond successful. Now, I've never seen it. Hopefully, Gayton's not mad at me here.
Not at all.
That is pathetic on my
part. Not at all.
I own it, buddy. Gayton Matarazzo is with us in studio. Big sports guy. What's happening, buddy?
I'm good. I'm doing well. Not much at the moment. I live locally, so I'm glad I was able to pop in. My dad's super stoked.
Yeah, your dad, who was supposed to come with you today.
Indeed. My dog
calls us all the time,
well.
But your dog is sick.
I know. It's just like, last night we were at the Rangers game last night, and we made like a whole day of it. Kept talking about it, was so stoked, and then he just wanted to make sure that the little dude was going to be okay, which is very, very sweet, but He's very disappointed.
So he pushed you into your fandom, your sports fandom?
Yes, very much so. Yeah. I think my drive to try to at least be able to hold a conversation was to have another alley to have something in common with my dad,
but
and
not,
it's been working out.
But not a big Jet fan. You're Mets,
not a huge
Mets
football
Rangers,
fan.
Right?
Mets, yeah, I'm a huge Rangers fan, and I've been able to kind of keep up with the league as a whole, which is like the first time I've ever tried to attempt to do that ever, and it's pretty fun. So it's opening up doors in other leagues, so I'm hoping it grows.
How many games have you gone through so far this year?
Oh, I don't know. I've been to as many as I can. It's hard right now. Most of my evenings are booked with the schedule of the show that I'm doing, so I only have Sunday nights and Mondays, which are not huge hockey nights usually.
Yeah.
And I got to go last night, and before that, the last one I was at was I think when they played Calgary maybe a month ago, where there was a bunch of fights and lead changes. It was a good game.
Yeah, you're talking about your show, which is Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, I'm doing Sweeney Todd.
You are starring as Tobias.
Yes, indeed.
Right? And Josh Groban is the lead.
He is.
He is Sweeney Todd.
He is Sweeney Todd.
How did this come about? I mean, you were a stage actor before Stranger Things came about, which we'll get to because there's a new season, hopefully, and you'll divulge something,
there is.
I'm sure.
Now we're getting a scoop.
BT will have no idea.
My reps aren't here.
When I bring up a Demogorgon, BT's going to say, what the hell are you talking about?
I got to get into the show. I know I'm missing
something. Dude, it's awesome.
I'm a loser, I'll take the L.
So what brought you back to Broadway, and how did Sweeney Todd come about? Because we all know the story, but...
Sure, attend the tale. being on stage is always where I felt the most comfortable. It's where I've done most of my work, actually, outside of... Because the only thing in TV I really had the opportunity to do was Stranger Things, which was kind of came out of nowhere. But before that, it was... I remember people would ask me if I ever wanted to transition to TV, and I always said no. And I remember I was like 9 years old, this conversation I had with one of my dad's friends, and he said, why? And I said, because on stage you have to get it right the first time. Oh. I was so cocky. And
that would make me go the other way. That's the easy route. I'll take TV.
Yeah.
Take three.
Yeah,
Tierney messed up.
Nah,
again. Take
let's
nine.
Let's giggle. But it kind of just happened, and I had that. It was like a big transitional. It was a big transition stage, because the last show I did, I was like 12 years old, and then I transitioned to TV from there, and that's when your voice changes. Mm. And after you have a big voice change, you kind of have to start from scratch when it comes to singing again. So I think it was a good time to transition, because it's really hard for kids in their teens to get work on stage, because usually for teenage roles, they just cast 18 and up, so they don't have to cast multiple actors, and is puberty's a thing. So yeah. Now that I...
That's what they say.
Yeah. Yeah. So the murderous barber of Sweeney Todd, we know. But yeah. What's your role? Wait, what's your character's
Toby,
role?
He's a bit hard to describe out of context of the show. He's a weird, weird character to try to figure out, and it's really, really fun to play. But he starts off as a bit of an assistant to a rival of Sweeney's towards the beginning of the show, and his relationship with Sweeney and Mrs. Lovett, who is Sweeney's partner in crime, mm-hmm. kind of grows exponentially as he starts to kind of attempt to figure out what's going on in his surroundings, which aren't very good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By the way, we're talking to Gator Matarazzo with us here in studio. You know, young athletes, they see somebody on a screen, they're like, I want to try to emulate Aaron Judge or Lindor.
Yeah.
So, but who were the actors? Like, what was the show that gave you that bug early, even mm-hmm. though it was on stage rather than TV? But what got you into it?
My mom was big into that department, so that's why later on I've tried to cater to my dad a bit more. He tried with the sports, hardcore. He did. Oh, I remember I did all of them. I did soccer. I did baseball. I tried them, and I was just like, I just want to sing. And my mom was stoked. But she showed me the anniversary concert for Les Miserables, which became like, I wasn't even a theater kid. I was simply spending my time and effort trying to get in that show specifically. And I don't remember really why. It might have just been because I wanted to share the excitement that my mom had about something that felt really, really exciting to me. And it kind of just grew, and I kind of just kept singing. And really, I think if kids start acting most of the time, unless there's like, because there are a lot of parents who push hardcore for their kids to work, and I don't necessarily enjoy watching kids who don't have much passion for it. Like,
it's the same on a baseball field. You feel bad for the kid almost.
If they don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. And that's that was always what my parents were big on. But I always had a love for it, even though it was a bit of an unorthodox move at 7 to try to start working professionally.
But you got that role, right?
Yeah, I did. I got that role eventually. It was like
Gavroche,
the white
right?
whale.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gavroche.
Yeah.
And it was the one that I could. I was in the audition room for like 3 straight years. I had like 7 different auditions for one tour.
Yeah.
And it finally happened on like the last leg of the tour. And then I kind of was just like, all right, I'm good. I don't need to keep doing this. I remember after I finished my run in New York, I was like, I want to take a bit of a break. And because my grades were dropping because I was focused on the show and I wasn't focusing on school. And I'm like, I was going into middle school. It was a big, big step. And so I was like, I'm just going to take a break and focus on school. And then a little show came along that they were like, you might as well audition.
Yeah.
So
until that Stranger until Things.
Stranger Things.
When you read Stranger Things, I don't even know why I watched it. Because I thought it was a kid's show. When I first clicked on it.
It seems like it might be.
I was like, this is a kid's show. Why the hell am I going to watch this? And I did. And I was like immediately hooked. Because it was sci-fi. It was, I don't know, all the characters were unique. All of your characters that you act with are very unique and diverse.
Yeah.
But why did that show click? Why do we all click with it? Especially adults. Man. I'm 47 years old.
Sure. It has a huge like age range of people that watch it. You know, that's really, really funny to me. It's not common. A show has the ability to cater to an incredibly diverse group of people, which is great. We're super stoked about that. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what it was. I think that it drew kids in because kids are in it. And I think it's not only is it awesome to have kids leading a show, but it's really cool to have younger people lead a show that isn't necessarily geared towards kids,
mm-hmm.
which is really fun. It feels quite authentic. You know what I mean?
That is unique.
It's different. Yeah. And 12-year-olds are crude as hell and always have been. So it's kind of annoying when... Because adults usually write kids' TV. So when you have mm-hmm. like them kind of like showing kids in like their natural habitat, it's pretty fun. And I think it represents a huge portion of people's like childhood, like in one big introduction. It kind of was like a big wave of that nostalgia, which is what brought a lot of other people in.
Have you dealt with the success? I mean, our producer, Hoff, he texts us last night. He's like, hey, do you mind if I bring my... my son Nicholas in. He's a huge fan. He can't wait. I'm of course bring
so
him
cute.
In.
He was. I was.
You guys were hanging
best.
Out.
Yeah,
before,
we got
right?
to. See, I got to see Nicholas before. Is he over there?
He's there on the other side. Like, what is it? Because you grew up normal, and I say normal, like just. Yeah, you didn't grow up in the business. You know, your dad's got a bakery, which, by the way, I've munched on way too much already.
I brought cookies and stuff. The cupcakes might still be a little cold. They were in the fridge.
Okay. Cupcakes?
Yeah.
Barbara's hoarding some stuff over there. I didn't know about the cupcakes.
They're here. They are cold.
But how do you deal with the fame? I mean, you seem like it's pretty natural to you, but do you like it?
I don't know. Without it, it would be hard to work consistently. So that's something you always have to be grateful for. You know what I mean? There are stresses about it, but I think to sit back and focus on the things you want to complain about would be stupid when it's really hard for... it's such a sought-after career. A lot of people would love to work in the arts and work as actors, performers in general. And it's really, really hard to maintain... a working career in the industry. And because of the show, I think that there will always be doors open to consistently work. And now I have the luxury of being able to look at roles and decide what I'd like to do going forward. That's something that is really rare and something I'll be forever grateful for. And that's what you got to look at and understand that that's what it's for. Yeah. And without the people that watch the show, there would be no career. You have to be overwhelmingly grateful for the people that have facilitated what you do. And that's why I'll always love it. I'll always love this show. I'll always love the people that watched it. And I always say that if it's the last thing I ever do professionally, I will be satisfied because it's something that like is for a lot of people really hard to try to be a part of. And a lot of it was luck that I got to be a part of it. So I'm super... super jazzed for sure, but it's still kind of sinking in, I think.
Very humble answer.
I think you're
thank
downplaying.
You. For you,
you're going to be known for this forever. I mean, seriously. How old were you the first season?
I started filming it right after my 13th birthday.
Your 13th birthday, and you didn't have teeth.
I didn't have teeth. Everybody's I still talking. Struggle.
Yeah, so this is a condition. We'll talk about this briefly.
Sure.
It's called CCD.
Yeah.
Clitocranial?
Clitocranial dysplasia.
Yep, dysplasia. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you've done some work around it. You've raised awareness.
Yeah. Thanks, guys, for bringing this up. I really appreciate it.
They wrote this, and I bring this up because they wrote it into your character.
Yeah.
Of Stranger Things.
That was cool. Yeah. That was a cool bit. Nobody really expected it to facilitate the organization, which is ultimately what it ended up doing. Because before that, there's not a lot of people who knew really what they had. There was a lot of misdiagnosis and undiagnosis, and most people who had it probably knew, mainly didn't know anybody with it. And if they did, it might have been one or two that they met in passing.
Yeah.
Because it's a pretty rare condition.
I never heard of it. Until we got the one sheet.
And a lot of medical professionals had never heard of it. That's what's really interesting is I meet a lot of people, and I tell them, I mean, you can't expect doctors to know every condition, so it's really cool when you have an opportunity to teach somebody who's already in that field. That feels pretty cool. But they brought it up because they were like, hey, kids in the 80s, their bullying tactics were not as smart as they are now. And so we were wondering if it would be okay with you if the motivation behind being bullied happened to be because of your teeth situation. I'm like, it's my life already. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I didn't mind at all. It's whatever's going to be realistic. And I've always felt pretty confident about it. Nothing to hide. Not like I can hide it. So
were you bullied by it? About it?
Not as much, because I learned to flip the script on it a little bit. Mm. I don't think that kids initially, because the big push when we were growing up is to love everybody and be kind to everybody despite physical differences, and that was like a big push. And even though like kids are a little bit weird about it, I think for the most part that we're more aware about making sure that people feel loved by each other now than we were a long time ago. So thankfully I was in a better time for it.
By the way, two people who grew up in that, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
There's a sensitivity now that wasn't around. Like back then it could be ruthless.
Oh, sure.
We said whatever we wanted to say.
And bullying's a lot less physical now. But the thing is there's kind of it's a lot different now because there's less accountability with bullying it's a lot easier to bully people now than it was back then because back then you kind of had to just do it right to somebody's face.
Yeah,
and if you got clocked, you got clocked.
That's right.
So now it's just you don't even have to have your name on it. You can say the worst things humanly imaginable.
That's true. And never own it.
And yeah, and then never really have to answer for it.
And even when they get caught, it gets lost in context. You could just claim it does get lost in context.
Yeah, for the most part.
Stranger Things going into another season's coming.
Yeah.
I've seen them. And so another season's coming. What new can we expect? I'm not telling you to give us any.
Sure.
Telling you to give us a little secret.
What new can we expect? Because I felt like it came to a logical end.
Yeah, it did. It came to a really cool weird conclusion. What I think was really cool about the last season is that going into it, there were a lot of loose ends.
Mm-hmm.
And a good portion of them were not necessarily tied up, but I think they were like tied to each other and have kind of created new alleys and new directions for us to go to that can kind of streamline and feel centered again.
Yeah.
Which is really, really great. So we can kind of push forward in a really cool, exciting way. I don't know what they have in store for the most part.
Yeah.
I haven't read much. And I don't know if they've written much just yet. I'm not too sure.
We just know it's coming.
We know it's coming. Well, I'm filming it.
We figured out 11. It was like, all right, now I get it. But what happens
exactly
next?
That backstory is now. We know more about that backstory. We know more about. I mean, I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen up to season four yet. But
BT.
we've figured out the
lost. Hey, who's that guy? Who doesn't know anything about the show except that it's amazing and well received by everybody around the world.
Thanks. Yeah,
that show.
It's pretty fun. Sure, that one. But we know a lot about the backstory that we didn't. So what's interesting is now that we know what has happened, we can just focus on what's going to happen.
Yeah, I got you.
Which I think is really, really fun.
Yeah,
I'm stoked for it.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, I was with you. And so, we're excited you came in.
Yeah,
thanks.
Big sports
I'm stoked
fan,
to be
so
here.
Your dad there was a connection.
Oh, I will.
Your dad.
I hope he's listening, right? I'm sure he's listening right now.
It's Joe's Bake Shop, right?
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
And what's the town? It's in
Tuckerton, New Jersey.
Tuckerton, New Jersey. Joe's
yes,
Bake
indeed.
Shop. They hooked us up. These cookies are ridiculous.
Pistachio chocolate chip.
Oh, the stuffed ones. So those are the stuffed cookies.
Ridiculously large. I have like 16 over here.
Those are like.
I gave you one. I had like 16.
The really big ones are the stuffed cookies. Yeah. And the best way to do it is to cut it in half and heat it up in the microwave for like 10 to 15
what
seconds.
What is it stuffed with?
Bro, that's happening.
Depends chocolate? On the cookie.
That's happening.
So that's the cookies and cream one. That's got
it.
Yeah, it's stuffed with like cookies and cream. I think the pistachio one might have Nutella in it. I'm not too sure.
I mean, I ate half of it. I can't even tell.
The blueberry crumble is my favorite, though, the one that you got over there.
All right, so the L'Enfant Theater, which is on West 46th Street, next the 26th, so next Sunday.
Yeah, we open
next Sunday. Sweeney Todd.
We're doing performances all throughout this week, and we open next Sunday. Please see it.
Yeah,
we're stoked.
Definitely.
You know people are coming to see you, and we hope that whether it's the physicality that's been a little up and down with the Rangers or the goaltending, we hope that that's there for you. We hope your Mets stay healthy.
Me too. Like, we're going for a pretty good push. We got some good people in the trade deadline.
Yes,
I mean,
your boy's going to win the cup.
You're
going to win the cup.
I hope so.
Come
I mean,
on.
Exactly. It's really when you have a team like this and you have our top six is just stupid.
Yeah,
stupid good. And of course our goaltending's. I mean, not as insane as it was last year, but it's consistently good.
Yeah.
But look at Boston. Boston's scary.
They're good, boy.
They're good. They're good.
But they're Boston.
But they're Boston.
Gaten, really great to meet you.
Nice to meet you guys.
He's a terrific local product who's made it huge and has remained humble, which is really good to say. It's a credit to your parents, your mom and dad. Yep, I could tell. All right, we got a timeout. We got an update from Bogish. We'll get a couple of pictures with Gaten. Tiki's going to geek out in a minute. He's going to hit him with some other questions. He's going to get the real script, and then I'll tell you what's coming up on the show. That's what's going to happen. Tiki will tell me. Gaten will tell Tiki during the break. Tiki will tell me, and I'll tell you. God will tell you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.